essentially the dollars that you have in your bank account or in your pocket lost buying power by 8.6% since last May. And essentially what that means is why this is happening is because there's too much demand and not enough supply. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and it's good to be with you today. It is June 20th when I'm recording this. It is hot outside, hot in the southeast, record heat. You know, we've kind of gotten used to it. It's just never is really fun though. So I wanted to spend our time in this episode just going over just really a market update. There's been a lot of things that have happened over the past month with the Fed raising rates, with inflation, with all kinds of things. And so I want to give you an insight as to what's going on here on the ground in our markets. So, you know, obviously we have boots on the ground in Birmingham, Alabama and Atlanta, which I'm recording this podcast for both of these episodes, just to give an update on Birmingham and Atlanta. So we have our teams on the ground in both of these places, but we're also all over the Southeast, right? So we have three offices in the state of Tennessee. We've got Nashville, Memphis, and Chattanooga. We're in Little Rock. We're in Jackson, Tennessee. We are actually just opened an office not long ago in Huntsville, Alabama. We have an office in Orlando, and now we're opening up Tampa. So we are spreading down here in the Southeast. But this specifically is really going to be a market update for the Birmingham and Atlanta markets. But I want to take it really from a macro standpoint. So I want to step back and for us to look at the market, look at what's going on so that we can understand, you know, should I be buying rental property right now? Is now a good time? What do I do with my rental property, the ones that I own? Do I hold on to them? Do I try to sell? Like, what should I be doing? And I just want to start out by saying, and I'm going to end this entire episode talking specifically about rental investing in an inflationary scenario, like in an inflationary environment. And so we're going to talk about this because, you know, we know right now that inflation is officially a problem, right? We know this, like it's a big issue. And what we're seeing is we're seeing this in the CPI. So inflation is mainly measured through the CPI or the Consumer Price Index. And so I pulled a report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and this is what I'm reading. And so I'm gonna walk you through some of this stuff so that we can have a better understanding of what's going on. In May of this year, the CPI was up 8.6% year over year. So from May of last year, 2021, to May of 2022, up 8.6%. Now, that's the biggest year-over-year increase since December of 1981. Like, that's incredible. So I was thinking, like, what is in the CPI? What's in this consumer price index? Well, really, it's things like food, it's things like energy, includes gas, vehicles, shelter, apparel, all of the things that consumers typically spend their money on. And so just going through some of these statistics, let's look at this. The energy index rose by 34.6% over the last year. Like, that's the largest increase since 2005. The food index increased 10.1% for the past 12 months. And like, that's the first increase over 10% since March of 81. Get this, gasoline prices increased by 48.7%. over the same 12-month span. Electricity prices rose 12%, and that's the largest since August 2006. Prices for natural gas increased 30.2% over the past 12 months, and that's the largest increase since July of 2008. Shelter prices rose 5.5%, and prices for household furnishings and operations increased 8.9%. So, and get this, prices for new vehicles rose 12.6%, and prices for used cars and trucks increased 16.1% over the year. And now this is the big one, because this has really impacted me, unfortunately. I've got a wife that wants to go visit her son. And unfortunately, I mean, he's in Texas. He's there to camp. He gets like half of a day, maybe, like really not even a full day. He gets like half of a day during the weekend where he's not at camp working. And my wife wants to fly into Houston to visit him. But airline fares have risen 37.8% in the past year. And so it's kind of ridiculous when we look at like getting a flight and she's like, it's not really worth it. My son's like, it's not really worth it. So this is a lot. Like the CPI, like this is a big deal, and it's increased. And I think it's increased more than what we were expecting. And so it's just like inflation is an issue. And so what does this really mean? Well, essentially the dollars that you have in your bank account or in your pocket lost buying power by 8.6% since last May. And essentially what that means is like why this is happening is because there's too much demand and not enough supply. And so you got to think like, well, what were the factors that contributed to increased demand? Well, I've been reading several articles, and what the economists are saying is there has been a lot of pent-up demand from COVID. I mean, just think, we've been kind of sidelined, not out and about spending as much money over the past 2 years. We hadn't been to as many restaurants, we hadn't been to as many movies, things like that over the past 2 years. So there was this pent-up demand. Also, there's more money in the market. Like the Fed has been pumping money into the market over the past 12 months, past 24 months at a ridiculous amount. And that drives up prices. So that's the increase for demand. But what about the not enough supply? Because we're seeing that in the housing market. I mean, if you're an investor trying to buy houses, this has been an issue. In Atlanta, we're buying houses for investors in Atlanta, but I'm telling you, the competition's fierce. And so we would have for a deal, you know, that was on MLS that we were bidding on, you might have 20 to 30 offers on one property. Supply was low. Same thing in Birmingham, not near as drastic as Atlanta, but most definitely we've had that issue here in Birmingham with just low demand. So why is not low demand, low supply. So why is the supply down? Well, we've had supply chain issues. Just think about this. Russia's supply has mostly been removed from the market. And then you have China that is, they're shutting down entire cities trying to get control over COVID, which impacts manufacturing. And so that hurts supply. I mean, I have one of the, you've more than likely you've noticed it if you've gone to the grocery store at all. I go to the grocery store typically with, you know, on a Sunday I'll go and I'll just be like, because I'm meal prep, and so I know what I need to get, and I'm there and I'm walking through. One of the things that I do love is peanut butter. I put it in a green smoothie in the morning, and then in the evening I'm having some casein protein, and I'll put it in the protein along with some almond milk. And man alive, peanut butter is struggling to find peanut butter, the kind that I like anyway. So increased demand, decreased supply, this is a big problem, right? So what's going to happen? Like, how are we going to try to get control of this inflation? Well, the thing that the Fed has done is they've decided to start raising rates. And I want to say it was a couple of Fridays ago, they raised rates by 75 basis points, which is a large hike. Now, they've been talking about raising rates as the economy has been heating up. They've been talking about raising rates, just kind of like hinting that it is coming. But what they were trying to do, I believe, is more of a soft landing, is what everybody's called it. It's like they wanted to really make this thing as easy on the economy, as easy on people, and try to prevent us from going into recession. They wanted to do this as easily as they could. However, they did not understand how bad inflation was, like how much all of these things, prices for all these things had gone up. And so that's why they took some pretty drastic measures. And all indications are they're going to raise rates again. They're going to keep raising them and trying to curb demand. Now, another way to help inflation out is to increase the supply. But we've already talked about the reason for that. And it's like you've got issues in China, you've got issues with this Russian and Ukraine conflict. Those types of things are not easy to deal with, right? So supply is probably not going to be the thing that comes back that eases inflation. So it's going to have to be like decreasing demand. And one of the ways the Fed does that is absolutely to raise interest rates. So think about it. If interest rates are up, then what happens to home buyers? Well, they can't afford what they were going to afford, right? Even just a couple of months ago. Like the mortgage, it gets much more expensive. They're paying more interest on these mortgages. Buying a car costs more money. Just borrowing money in general from employers. So we can look at it from a commercial standpoint, just like employers, it's going to cost them more money. It's going to cost them more to borrow money and to grow their businesses. And then just back home, just with us buying everyday thing, anytime we want to borrow money, it's going to cost more. And so this is going to more than likely curb demand. So what does this mean for the rental investor, the person who's buying properties in Birmingham or buying properties in Atlanta? What does this mean? Well, this is what we're seeing on the ground. We're still seeing strong demand for rental houses. Okay. And part of this is the fact that there are a lot of institutions out there buying properties, right? So they have cash. They have plenty of cash. And so they're watching these markets. They're still going to bid on houses. So even in a recession, you can believe that these institutions are still going to buy houses. However, I will say this was a pretty interesting stat that I learned is that like institutions still own a very small percentage of the rental houses out there. We're talking like 2-3%. You know, you hear about institutions and you think, oh man, they're buying thousands upon thousands of houses and they must have 30, 40, 50% of all rental houses out there. And it's just not true. They don't. It's still the regular landlord like me and you that own those. And so they still have strong demand. So that probably means we're not going to see a major dip in the prices of properties. The retail softening will happen. So what does that mean when a retail home buyer, like it becomes more expensive to own a home? Well, what do they start to do is they start to look more towards renting. And so if you're a rental investor, even if you're thinking about buying rentals or you already own rentals, this is good news for you. This means that demand for rentals is going to increase. And it's already like super hot. Like we are seeing our median days on market like 13 days. And this is across all of our markets. So this is not just in Birmingham or Atlanta, which are very, very hot markets. But if you have a good house, so these are the three characteristics. If you have a good house and it's in good shape, and you're trying to rent it, not between Thanksgiving and New Year's. That's a little bit tougher time to rent a house. But so if you're trying to rent a house this summer and you have a good house that's priced right, then this thing, it's going to rent super fast. So this is good for rental investors, right? Another good thing about owning rental property or buying rental property right now is that with this increased demand in rentals, your vacancy goes down. So we absolutely have seen here in the past, like houses being rented before the other resident moves out completely. So this was something we used to do in Nashville all the time because Nashville is such a hot market. Like we would pre-market this property before the current tenant had turned in their notice to vacate. Maybe it was, you know, 60 days out or whatever. Hey, I'm going to move out at the end of my lease, or 30 days out, I'm going to move out at the end of my lease. That's fine with us. we would start to pre-market. Like, we would have people viewing the property. We'd have people filling out applications. So we're seeing that more and more and more. Another great thing about owning rental property is that rental rates are not static. They're dynamic, right? Which means from year to year, you can raise your rental. You can raise the rate of rent if the market can bear it. Like, you don't want to get greedy, because if you get greedy, then your resident's going to move out and you're not going to rent it for the right price. You're not going to be able to find somebody to overpay for your property. However, if it's at market rate, which over the past few years has been rising, like rental rates have been rising, then this is really good for you. Like, owning rental property is a great hedge against inflation, and mainly because not only because rental rates go up, you can absolutely experience that appreciation in rental rates, but also prices of houses tend to increase along with inflation. They tend to keep pace with inflation, is what I meant to say. So I was reading some research, and according to John Burns, owning a home costs $839 more per month than renting. And this is just pushing more and more people to rent. So one other thing to note, I think, especially here in the Southeast, is we are seeing just this massive demand for build-to-rent from institutions. So building is not slowing down. They are looking for more and more land, and we have institutions who are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into build-to-rent communities. So these are communities like garden home communities, whatever the case is, and they're just built for rental communities. And that's because the rental demand is so strong. And so we probably are not going to see a major decrease in prices, home prices, at least not yet. We are going to see, according, you know, this is what the Fed's doing, a softening of demand, right? So we're going to see people not like bid on all of these houses and continue to bid them up. So right now, prices are still remain high. They may come down, but, you know, our advice for investors, because there's a lot of uncertainty in the market right now, right? You have rising interest rates, you have inflation that's as high as it's been in a long, long, long time. You've got strong demand for properties, like for rental houses and things like that. You've got strong rental demand from tenants. So what is our advice? Well, this is what we're going to say. If you reach out to us and talk to us about buying properties for you, which we do that for investors all the time. So this is what we're going to say. Here's our advice. Our advice is just to stay patient. Like, just be patient. Building wealth through owning rental property takes a while. I've always advised, don't go out. If you're brand new at this, don't go out and just buy a portfolio of properties. Like, you have no idea what you're really buying. Be patient. Look for deals. Like, first of all, understand your buy box. Like, get crystal clear on your buy box. If you need to adjust it a little bit, adjust it. But if you're, you know, if you're still thinking Birmingham, Alabama, specifically Eastlake, then, and you know your buy box, then just be patient. Look for deals. Understand what's going on the ground. Like, understand the different streets. If you're an investor in Atlanta, like looking for Atlanta property, you also need to just be patient, understand the fundamentals. I would encourage you, like, if you aren't working with anybody, if you aren't working with an investor-friendly agent, then reach out to us. And you can fill out the form. We have a form, evernest.co/real-estate-partner. If you fill out that form, like, one of our investor-friendly agents will get in touch with you and talk to you about, like, your buy box. They'll help you build out your buy box if you haven't done that already. So, and then think about, like, you should be coming into this. If you're buying rental property, you should have a long-term goal. So just keep your goal and your targets in mind. So this has everything to do with long-term thinking. Like, I've got several friends who are flippers, and I tend to think that their business will most definitely slow down a bit, while rental investors, like, to me, this is it may be a bear market for wholesalers and flippers, but it's not going to be for rental investors who have a portfolio of houses. So if you're just now starting to build it, I still think now is a good time if you're patient and if you're looking for deals that fit your buy box and that make sense long term, right? You want to buy properties that you want to have for long term. That means you don't go after a deal because a house has a major defect. And what I mean by that is, if it has a steep driveway, it's on a very busy road, it has a funky layout, it's near, you know, railroad tracks or power lines, that is not going to be a good deal no matter what the market does. That's going to be a problem renting that home to a great tenant every single year. So these are just some market updates here I was thinking about for June 20th, just for folks investing in Birmingham and Atlanta, anywhere really here in the Southeast. If we can help you anywhere here in the Southeast, we can do that. There are definitely deals to be had out there. You just have to know where to look for them, how to find them. And we'd love to help you out if you want to reach out to us. But hopefully that the Fed will get things under control and, you know, inflation will come back down a little bit. That's what we'd like to see. We'd like to see us come out of inflation without going into a recession, but only time will tell if that's going to happen or not. That is it for this episode of our podcast. We'll be back next month as we look into July. We'll probably have another market update and bring on some guests to talk about what they're seeing in the market, what they're doing in the market. And we'll be back with that episode in 1 month.